Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Yes, we can say amen to that, Jesus saves. Reading today from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's give God thanks for this, praying that he will give us understanding, that he will give us what is here described by the Spirit, the new birth to those that do not have it, and a further blessing of the Spirit to those who have been born again. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee through Christ. We come through him who is the way, the truth, and the life. We come through him who is prophet, priest, and king. And here, Father, describing himself to Nicodemus as the prophet, but also as the priest, the one to bear our sin, Nicodemus's and ours. We pray, Father, that we might know this message rightly, that we may not be left in ignorance, as Nicodemus here was for a time, stating, How can these things be? And thy asking him, Lord Jesus, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Father, we know that without the mighty work of the Holy Spirit, we will not know these things. We know also that the Spirit can be taken away, and we be left in our foolishness. We think of Hezekiah, how he was left, and that he only did things in pride, fleshly. We pray, Father, that the church might today not be left without the Spirit, we having grieved him so much and well nigh quenched him. We pray that he might be given again in a mighty way because of Christ, that he might be given in a way to do all that is needed in conviction, in turning, in leading, in teaching, in reviving, in all that is needed to humble us, so that we might then receive more of thy grace, being humbled. We pray, Father, for the church to have that blessing, that it might then be a right witness in the world and before the world. We pray, Father, for those who have special needs, and sickness, injury, sorrow, hunger, homeless, persecuted. We pray, Father, for the troubled homes. We pray for the elderly, the widows, the widowers. We pray for all, Father, that need thee, and especially those that need thee in the soul, still seeking thee and not having found thee, that they might be taught as Nicodemus was, and given a new birth, that the fruit might be there as it was with Nicodemus later, all through Christ. Amen. As we look at this narrative of Nicodemus coming to the Lord Jesus by night. We mentioned him last week. The last weeks we considered the place of the blood of Christ in the way of our salvation, in the way of his saving us, and that it is certainly true, as Paul could write, and as it is already stated earlier in Scripture, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Though that blood is not mentioned here in this narrative, we know that it is in a way referred to when Christ stated to Nicodemus, as recorded in verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He would be lifted up on the cross, nailed to the cross, and his blood would be there shed for our sin. But first, let's look at where Christ begins with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who came and said to him, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." We are reminded here of the rich young ruler, who came and said, "Good master," the Lord Jesus says, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." Here, Nicodemus calls the Lord Jesus a teacher come from God, and also acknowledged that God was with him, but not knowing that this person to whom he was speaking was God, was the one described by John in the first chapter. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the third verse, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." He was the one to whom Nicodemus came, evidently not recognizing that this was the true Messiah, the promised one, promised to Adam, promised to Abraham, the promise repeated to Isaac, to Jacob, given many times by other prophets, and then finally being born in Bethlehem, and now here beginning his ministry of teaching and miracles. And Nicodemus, knowing this, comes to him by night, a Pharisee, one of the strictest sect of the Jews. Nicodemus, being one of them, probably didn't want to be seen by the crowds as coming to Jesus. Jesus, who was despised by the Pharisees, not accepted. So he came here by night and addressed him in this way. And Jesus comes back with a very abrupt answer. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He got directly at the problem of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was not seeing that the kingdom of God was here. As the Lord Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye therefore and believe the gospel." Later he also said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but is within your hearts." It all comes by faith. It all comes by believing. Nicodemus believed what he saw, what was happening, but he did not see the essence of who was doing this, why he was actually here. That he was a fulfillment. As God said to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Blessed through this person in all that anyone needs. Yes, in all that anyone needs. All in one person, Christ. Paul writes sometime later that if God has given Christ, will he not also with him freely give all things? It's through Christ that we become children of God. And if we are God's children, will he not lead us and give us all that we need, everything everything, for time and eternity. That is really having and entering into the kingdom of God. Yes, all by faith. Having received the kingdom into our hearts by faith. But Nicodemus was ignorant of all of that. And the Lord Jesus began where he had to begin with not only Nicodemus, but with you and me. Worldly person, religious person, educated, preaching person, elders, Sunday school teachers. Here was one, a ruler of the Jews. Described later by Christ, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? We get included the rest of the titles that we just gave. Professors, doctors of divinity, all can be without the new birth, and many are. Many have been. This man, a ruler, a master, was without the new birth. And being without the new birth, he was without sight of what the kingdom of God really is. The first thing Christ described and attributed to the new birth was, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Later, Christ would unfold that kingdom more and more. Unfolded in the way of not only declaring the new birth and the need of it, the birth by the Spirit, by the Word, but also declare to him the gospel. Yes, the gospel, given in type, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As Moses put that brazen serpent on the pole, Christ would be put on the cross. And here, the Lord Jesus used that type for himself. Then giving it more plainly, not in type, but directly, in that well-known verse, the 16th verse of this third chapter, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have here the new birth. We have the gospel. We have later the truth referred to, and other things along the way as well. Light is referred to. Sadly, in the setting that we hate the light, but then later comes to the light, to Christ, the light of the world. All that is given here, those different aspects of the kingdom of God, those different things that God gives in his grace. A few weeks ago, we saw that salvation was by grace, unmerited, unearned. Even more than that, unsought without the new birth. Yes, unsought. The Bible teaches plainly, there is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. That's why this new birth has to be given. In our natural self, we do not seek God as he is. We might seek a God of our imagination. We might make out of God an idol. We might, as it were, pattern him. As God said by the pen of the psalmist in Psalm 50, that thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. We might have a Catholic God, a Reformed God, a Presbyterian God, a Baptist God, a Methodist God, one that fits all these different traditions. We think, God taught this. God leads us to do this. But not necessarily so. It was not that way with the Pharisees. Art thou a master in Israel? The master of the Pharisees? The strictest sect? The most righteous sect according to the law? And yet did not know these things. And did not know the Savior. Did not know, evidently, his Father. If he would have known the only true God, he would have come like the publican, smiting on the breast. Are you a teacher? Can you tell me how to get right with God? I'm a sinner. But he didn't come that way. He came telling Christ who he was. He knew. We know. Thou art a teacher come from God. Not all the Pharisees would submit to that. Some became very angry when he taught and what he taught. But Nicodemus here, I think we might say that was already being called by God. Already, as we read and we've referred to in our different references to the need of the blood, Hebrews 10, sanctified by the blood. When God begins to call a sinner to himself, he deals with him because the blood that was shed. He sends the Spirit to that man or woman or child because of Christ's blood shed on the cross. He can now deal with him. He can begin reconciling that sinner to himself. And we may believe that this was true for Nicodemus. We do not know all the whys and the wherefores. Christ said, as the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone born of the Spirit. We do not know when the wind of God's Spirit began to blow in Nicodemus' heart, like later on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was given as accompanied with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It wasn't the wind that did it, but it accompanied the giving of the Spirit. There was a sign of it. And that is also used here when the Lord Jesus says, you don't know, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Verse 8, you hear the sound thereof. We can hear whistling through the trees around the buildings, sometimes doing much damage. But we can't tell whither it cometh. We can't even see it. We can see the result of it. And that's the way with the Spirit as well. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Some people are very much perplexed in the church when sinners are being born of the Spirit, when sinners are being convicted by the Spirit. I see in them whisked away to a mental institution too often. Yes, much too often. It's sad, terrible, sad. Professors that don't know that what the kingdom of God does and is made of in God's working in the soul. They're perplexed. As one professor, one teacher once described an elder in his church, all his sins started bothering him. And then he dropped the subject and went on with his teaching and asking him later what happened to that man, that sinner. Took him to the mental institution, gave him a shock treatment. Terrible. Bring the sinners to Christ. Bring the troubled sinners back to God in repentance. When God is coming with a new birth, he's opening the eyes of a sinner to himself. Yes, to God and to himself, the sinner. And he will soon open his eyes to the Savior. All of that takes place in the new birth. The work of the Spirit. Christ described it later, toward the end of his ministry. When the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. He's telling Nicodemus that already. Verse 19, this is the condemnation that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Through the ministry of the Lord Jesus, he spoke of that. You will not come to me that you might have life. And that is one of the works of the Spirit. Convicting of sin because they believe not on Christ. Yes, there may be a believing historically. There may be a believing as even the previous chapter here in John chapter 2. We read verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Some will believe in Christ for very strange reasons. I remember hearing of a man who went forward in a crusade. The man was a ball player. He thought it might improve his batting average. I remember a man in a meeting I attended. He had trouble with his girlfriend. People pray in jail to the Lord. And they're quite perplexed if they don't get out soon, or they're not set free when they're guilty. They're angry with God. They think that this is a free ticket to their own choosing, their wicked choosing. Yes, wicked choosing. Sometimes wickedness in high places, as Paul speaks of it to the Ephesians in chapter 6. Men want God to help them to further their wicked deeds. Is it any wonder that when God speaks of Christ by the pen of the psalmist in Psalm 2, and he says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Rejoice with trembling. Rejoice today that there's such a lesson here given by Christ to Nicodemus. But tremble, lest you come short of seeing the kingdom of God, lest you come short of entering that kingdom in God's way by repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, lest you come short of being born again by the Spirit of God, because if you don't, Christ said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Yes, again. Your natural birth is not sufficient, no matter where it was and to whom you were born in this life. All of the flesh. You must be born of the Spirit to learn of God and come to Christ to be saved.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.